The company furnished everything, you know, for the coal miners. They had a big, huge company store. You didn't have to go to St. Paul or Bristol or anywhere to buy anything. They had it here.
A 100 years ago, the Clinchfield Coal Corporation selected the tiny village of Turkey Foot as its center of operations. Renamed Dant after a coal company executive, the town flourished for several decades as people from all over the world were brought in to work in the mines. Now that coal is no longer king, Dant is a shadow of its former self. But as Sean Tubbs reports, the people who still live there remember it well.
The 1,000 or so current residents of Dant are not planning anything special to mark the town's 100th birthday. That's because the real celebration came about a year ago with the publication of the oral history collection Memories from Dant, The Life of a Coal Town. Dant resident Lucille Whitaker is just one of the 200 people who contributed to the book.
This place used to be a big town, the biggest town in Russell County. This place was, because the company, you know, they mine coal and everything, and miners come from everywhere here to get jobs and everything. It was a big town.
Dant's history is typical of a Virginia coal town. David Rouse teaches a course on Appalachia at the University of Virginia's College at Wise. He says 19th century industrialists had a hard time developing the coal fields because of a lack of transportation.
So the first coal mining developed along the major rivers. The Tug Fork, the Cumberland, the New River. Well, for Dant, you had to have not only the coal reserves held by those who had the capital to development, you had to have the Clinchfield.
The Clinchfield Railroad was part of a grand scheme to develop the Middle Appalachians as a center for ironworks and coal. But Rouse says there were not enough people living in Southwest Virginia to work the mines, so companies like Clinchfield had to import them. And when these new settlers came to Southwest Virginia, there weren't any existing towns, just small communities, or in some cases...
There were company towns that were rigidly, strictly controlled by the company. That is, the company owned the town, owned all the buildings in the town, what recreation existed in the town. The miners had to shop at the company store.
At its peak in the late 1920s, there were over 5,000 people in town, and most all of them worked for Clinchfield. Roy Phillips moved to Dent in 1930 when his father got a job with the company.
Back then, of course, there was much more, many, many people here because they had done hand-loading coal, you know, shovel. And so it was a very hard time, of course. Nobody didn't have too much, really. Back there, about 32 of there, somebody, you know, bless. He didn't want to work until you hit the road. There's another barefooted man wanting a job.
Gladys Carter was a young miner's wife back in those days.
Everybody lived hard during the Depression. I'll tell you, we lived in the country like we raised everything that we eat nearly. We raised cows and hogs. And we didn't have no money.
Some weeks there would only be one day's work. Carter says her best friend would rejoice if the miners got to work 2 days a week.
Well, when they'd work two days a week, she'd say, "Hey, Carter, they're working tomorrow. We'll have banana pudding for dinner."
Even though the town of Dant was segregated, the mines themselves were not. James Mabry lives today with his wife in a section of town called Sawmill Hollow.
We've been pretty close around here. We didn't know one from the other. Well, you wouldn't know when you come out of the mines, the color all the same color.
Mabry began his career with Clinchfield working at the company hotel, but entered the mines when he was 20.
I done forgot more about the mines than I ever know. You'd have to put water in that part of it.
He shows me an old carbide lamp miners used in the old days. This lamp actually had an open flame.
This was your little flint chair that you strike it with to light it up.
When Mabry first started loading coal, he was paid by how much he could dig.
Dollar a car filled. 2-3 tons of coal. Sometimes you'd have to stand there all day to get 4 or 5 cars.
Professor Rouse at UVA's College at Wise says this was one of the abuses that the United Mine Workers Association wanted to stop.
The company, check weighman, would underweigh the coal you had produced. And miners were paid on the tonnage they dug and then docked if slate was found in the load.
The main force behind the UMW was John L. Lewis. Rouse says his picture is next to Jesus Christ's on the walls of many homes in Appalachian coal towns.
John Lewis emerged as president of the United Mine Workers. He spoke the language of the miners, but also was one of the great orators in American history.
Those who consume the coal and you and I who benefit from that service, we owe protection to those men first, and we owe the security for their families if they die.
Elsie Neese of nearby West Dant recalls that the union had a positive effect on the working conditions in the mines.
As the union come in, everything got better. They had to keep the place more safer. And if it wasn't safe, you didn't have to go in it.
Ironically, the worst tragedy in the Dant mines occurred in 1948, after unionization. Elsie Neese says the bump happened when one mine shaft caved in on itself.
6 men killed up there, the men I worked with.
When that happened, did that stop you from wanting to go back in the mines, or did you go back?
Yeah, I went back. I went back, yeah.
Was your wife scared to let you back in?
Well, she didn't like it, but you had to make a living.
Advances in technology meant fewer men were required to work the mines. In 1944, the Pittston Coal Company bought up a controlling share of the Clinchfield Corporation, and the character of the town began to change. Lucille Whitaker remembers when the company began shutting the doors on all its businesses in Dant.
The theater, we had our own theater here. We never went nowhere else. We had everything right here. Then when the company got to selling out, well, they'd start tearing down the company store, and then the theater, and then the post office.
By 1959, the Clinchfield mines at Dant were closed, and those who weren't transferred to other company sites often had to move away to find work elsewhere. Gladys Carter says a lot of her friends scattered all over the Appalachians to find other mining jobs. Now in her mid-90s, she laments the difference between the town then and now.
Doctors come to your house then and delivered your babies and everything. We had a big hospital.
Is the hospital still there?
No, it was torn down years ago.
How do you feel when things like that are torn down?
Well, it makes you lonely and sad. You're just lonesome.
Today, people still live in Dant, and a new strip mining operation is getting underway, supervised by Lucille Whitaker's son.
A lot of people stayed here, well as myself, right here in this community. A lot of them won't leave, and I ain't got nothing to leave for.
This intense attachment is what attracted Catherine Shearer to edit the book Memories from Dant.
There's an intense closeness here that has come down through all the years, people moving away when the mines closed down and when the mines mechanized after World War II. A lot of people had to leave. There's just this intense feeling of love and admiration for the community and the people who still remain here.
Memories from Dant is now in its second printing. Reporting for With Good Reason, I'm Sean Tubbs.
When you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
You're listening to With Good Reason. Our associate producer is Sean Tubbs. With Good Reason is produced by the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, for the Higher Education Broadcasting Consortium, and public radio station serving Virginia. I'm Sarah McConnell. Thanks for listening.
Trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.